Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Davari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kings, depending on your vernacular. Been a minute since we've been in it, ladies and gentlemen, but we've got two dubs back-to-back in dramatic fashion. The cardiac Chicago Bears, baby, giving us heart attacks.
Every week.
They're killing us with two for victory.
No, that would be too easy. That would be the good thing to do. We don't want to, you know.
Right.
We want to create the drama, melodrama.
Yeah, man. But for the second week in a row, I'm getting real frustrated, you know, and really getting real pissed off at the idea of why do we consistently, in the words of my man Herb Howard, why do we consistently have to be praised to bring a water hose to the fire that we started? Because again, we gave both these teams life. We gave them life when we should have stomped them out. Traditionally. You know, there's no way that Jackson Dart is beating you off a simple high school read option. He's killing us off a high school read option. The fact that we tried to throw the ball 30 times in weather where it was about 28, 30 degrees, football hard as a rock. We steady trying to throw the ball, not run the ball against the NFL's one of the NFL's worst run defenses in the league. I'm not understanding that, you know. And I for the last two games, you know, it seems like Ben Johnson has had the Washington Commanders effect. And I'm not saying with us. I'm talking about when he was with the Detroit Lions and he got away from the run completely when they was averaging, you know, 8-9 yards a carry when he was the offensive coordinator there. And they end up losing that game to the Commanders in the playoffs. So same rule apply, especially, you know, like we said, back-to-back weeks against inferior opponents. Needless to say, Cincinnati and, again, against New York. But it's like, especially in the game against New York, the run game was working. Why go away from it? I didn't understand that. And then, of course, when you short, you know, of course, that was a time of possession type game because New York couldn't do nothing, right? They couldn't do anything to a certain point. And then we start giving them extra possessions because we going three and out. You know, we stall and drive. So we giving them extra possessions, more possessions than what they should have had. And then all of a sudden, oh, well, they found something that's clicking and Jackson Dart wakes up and then you blink and we down 17-7 at that point. And it's like, damn. And quiet as kept. And those of you, you know, I was sitting there talking to David Kaplan about this yesterday when we was talking back and forth. And he's like, oh, well, didn't you give up on the team with three? Hell yeah, I gave up on them because they was down by two scores with fucking 3 minutes left. Yes. Because again, this ain't the same old Bears, but what are we accustomed to? You down by two scores with 3 minutes left, game over. That's what I'm used to, and that's what I'm used to seeing. Again, they proved me wrong for the second week in a row. But my thing is this. You know, for 2 weeks, literally for 2 weeks, you know, we're going through this. And the thing is that really pisses me off is the fact that we're giving life to lifeless teams. You know, as my coach would always say, you allow a team to hang around long enough, they'll beat you. You know what I'm saying? You allow a team to hang around long enough, they'll get you. And if Jackson Dart didn't go out, we lose to the fucking Giants. They get their first road win. So that's cause for concern moving forward. I'm happy that we got the dub. You don't? I mean, we couldn't stop nothing he was doing before he got hurt.
I knew he was gonna. his play style, I think, eventually is unsustainable. He reminds me of 2002 Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Where he's exciting. He's going to run the ball, throw the ball. He's a one-man show. He's going to keep you in games. But in the end, he's going to fuck up. They're going to fuck up. He's going to get hit. He's going to fumble the ball because he's not big. He's like 6'2".
And he did fumble the ball.
Yeah. And so I think once that fumble happened, I think the game is over. Because a team like the Giants, they just fuck it up. But it is kind of those games are two different kind of games, right? Like the Bengals game, it wasn't the offense. It was the defense. That defense. And I ain't going to lie. Joe Flacco was on one because I rewatched that shit. And that motherfucker was getting that ball out quick. I'm sorry, I'm cussing. But, I mean, he was like, third step, ball out. Third step, ball out. And he was on fire. It ain't giving no defense, no excuses. But man, that secondary guy torched.
Yes.
In that Cincinnati game. The offense is reason why we won the game. But then that special teams stuff. And the Giants game was just weird. It was like the offense, I get you saying, I believe Ben Johnson, sure, right? But it wasn't like the passing game. Them fools were dropping everything.
Yes, they were. Yes.
It was like they should have, like, Alameda Zacchaeus, that touchdown, he dropped. Horrible.
Yes.
Sula had a draw. He
dropped two.
Yeah, he had like three. Yeah, he dropped two, but he had a couple horrible drops over the middle. And that one that Caleb did when he scored the touchdown, Zacchaeus was open.
Wide open. Could have walked in the end zone.
But he was like,
throwing you the ball.
I ain't throwing you the ball. He's like, fuck this. I can
do it. And I don't blame him for that.
Yeah, I don't blame him either.
It's a little weird, but the one thing I will say from this that I learned from those games, Caleb Williams, at the end of those games, the Colston Loveland, he caught that touchdown. That's a big-ass play. That's what you want from your top 10 pick. Same thing, Colston Loveland had a big play. It was like third and like long. When he converted that pass, when Darnell Wright put that guy on his ass, it was like third and long. That could have been game right there. Mm-hmm. And he made that pass. Is that I like the way, even though I don't like that they were in that situation, I like that they were able to finish. That wasn't luck. Those plays at the end of the games, that's not luck. You might have fucked up how you got there.
Right.
Those are big time plays.
Yeah.
You know, they did their damn thing. Like even when they blocked a field goal with the Raiders, that wasn't luck.
Right.
That was skill. So yeah, it sucks. Cause you want us to just go out and like at least have a Sunday where we're gonna win the game outright. But when you get to the playoffs, this shit is going to matter because none of the games in the playoffs are like blowouts. Mm. It's always last minute. Who has the ball last? You're going to kick a field goal to win. Who gets the score? Who gets the stop? And I think that's the good part about it is that they're learning how to play like that versus bad teams because eventually, if they want to get to the championship, they're going to have to do it versus the Eagles.
Yeah. We play on Black Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, in like the NFC Championship type of shit. You know, you ain't gonna be able to just. So at some point, you gotta learn how to win, and that's the one positive I want to say about the Bears is that they are learning how to win because we, like you said, Nez, before that game would have been over.
Yeah, we lose those games.
Mm-hmm. We lose. Them boys look confident as hell. They came out. Caleb Williams was smiling on the sideline, coming out, starting up.
Yeah.
It's just like, who are these dudes?
Yeah,
you know. That's the one thing I do got to say. I hate that they gave me a heart attack, but I love the fact that they were able to do it because they would have fucked that shit up last year.
Yeah, you absolutely. You know,
my thing is when I look at that game, it's a this is a team we all know. We're let's not be ridiculous, right? There are some Bears fans that are ridiculous, meatheads, or whatever you want to call them, you know, so on and so forth. But honestly speaking, the Bears are not winning the Super Bowl this year. It's just not going to happen. Now, if they catch fire and something crazy and insane happens, then so be it. I'm good. I'm along for the ride. But realistically speaking, I know that this team is not a Super Bowl contender. So I don't expect them. I don't expect great play. I expect inconsistency. I expect them to have ups and downs. Now, the biggest thing that I look at it and say, I don't want those peaks and valleys to be so lopsided, so crazy, so drastic, right? I don't want to see where we can't move the ball for a long period of time, then all of a sudden we start hitting on all cylinders. Or the defense is playing so horribly, and then all of a sudden they're playing pretty good. Those peaks and valleys have to level out a little bit, and they have to play a little bit more consistent. that's what a growth, you know, that's what the growth of a team is going to do, though. They'll start playing better. They'll start playing more consistent and get longer stretches of really good play, shorter stretches of bad play. That's what I'm looking for with this squad. That's what I want to see happen with them. With this squad, though, and what they're doing, you know, you can look at them and you can say, hey, this team is going to be dangerous, though, because they have they've adopted the mentality that Ben Johnson is pushing out there. And you see it from the quarterback to the offensive line, to the players on the sideline, to the defense, to the offense. They're making plays, real plays. Like you said, real, it's not luck. These plays are not luck. The batted ball, Tremaine Edmonds at the end of the game. That was a hell of a play. That's just a good play. That ain't luck. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That didn't happen by chance. That happened because he actually made a play. Colston Loveland jumping backwards, reaching back for the ball that Caleb, you know, threw. It was a good pass, but it was a little off target. It was a heck of a catch, heck of a pass. Mm-hmm. The offensive lineman did their job on that play. You know what I mean? You see Darnell Wright making a play. Those are several different things that had to go right for that play to get off, for them to get that first down. You know what I'm saying? So when you see that, that's what you see. You see the growth of the team. I'm not expecting them to be lights out. You know what I'm saying? I'd love to see it. I'd love to see us stomp on some of these teams that we should be beating up, like the Giants and so on and so forth. But as long as you win, that's all that matters. It don't matter how you got the dub. You don't apologize for no victory in the NFL because they're hard to come by.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Look at the Bills.
You know, one of the things that stuck out to me was Kevin Byard, when he was on the podcast. Will, you sent the link where he was talking about, he was like, you know, in years past, you know, in situations like that, everybody would have panicked. You know, everybody would have panicked. You know, and the fact that he said this year, something is different. You know what I'm saying? It's like everybody is calm, you know. Calm, cool, and collected. But I'll let you finish up on that, Roy.
Yeah, he was on the podcast with Romo Dunze. Yeah, he was, and it's true, man. We feel it as fans. That's why I was on. I was talking to Rank. You know, shout out to him. And we were saying, I was like, Bear fans have PTSD, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I had it too. That Bengals game, I had it more with the Bengals game than the Giants. The Bengals game, it was like when Daniel Hardy kicked that football I was like, really, bro? Of course we can't just cheer the fucking this onside kick and just kneel it out. We gotta have he touched the football, then they gum right down the score.
Right.
You know, and then you already in your Bear fan brain like that, like the one time I got hit, I was tweeting shit like fuck, here we go,
what's the meme? Oh, here we go again.
Right. And then so you already down, you like, man, I get it. Joe Flacco is a pro, so I ain't trying to knock him, you know, and they got weapons, so Joe Flacco can still spin that pill. But you were like, damn, this shouldn't have been like this. But to come back and then just walk off touchdown, that's not the Bears.
Yeah.
Oh, we would have had the touchdown and we would have got a call back for a holding, unsportsmanlike conduct, number 75 took his helmet off and smacked against the other player.
Right.
15-yard penalty, he's ejected. Right. You know what I mean? And we'd have been sitting there like, what the fuck just happened? What just happened? We were up celebrating 2 minutes. So it's good, like you said, that they can actually win. And they starting to believe. And you guys know, man, when you start to believe, that's half the battle.
Yes.
You believe. And they believe in the quarterback, right? Because he led them back-to-back games with touchdowns. Not even getting in position to field. We used to praise Mitch for getting in position to kick a field goal. He put the ball in the end zone twice last game. And then the game before, threw a touchdown dart. You know, so you like, they starting to believe in him. They believe in the coach. We know the personnel is limited, especially on defense. We ain't going to go that far. But they believe. I think they believe they're a playoff team. And so they believe, I believe.
Facts. You know, it's just... You know, shout out to Kyle Brandt, man, because he put me on a Good Morning Football. Shout out to Kyle Brandt for that, man. You know what I'm saying? I definitely appreciate it. But he had me on this segment of Good Morning Football, and I was one of the people who was melting down, man. Again, like I said, 3 minutes left. You know, 3:30 before the Bears actually made a move. You know what I'm saying? Actually decided to do something. They were dead in the water up to that point. And anybody can sit here and say, oh, I thought we still were going to win. You're fucking lying. Okay. You're a liar. You are a liar.
I'm an optimist.
David Kaplan, liar. I don't believe you. Again, he said he bet the Bears in the fourth quarter. Sure you did. All right.
The beginning.
Sure, Cap. Sure. All right. He was queuing it up his damn self. So, again, I don't believe you. You know, everybody thought that game was going to be chalked up as an L. But, again, like they said, it's something about this team that's completely different. Something about this team that's completely different, you know. Did Caleb win me over yet? Not yet. Again, you know what I'm saying? Not yet. But I see the promise in him that I saw when he was at, you know, Oklahoma and when he was at USC. Again, I was one of his biggest supporters when he won the Heisman Trophy year campaign at USC. And I sent out an old tweet and I said, you know, when everybody was talking about possibly trading Justin in, and I said, nah, I don't see that happening. But what I do see happening, if he were going to move on from a quarterback, he'll move on from Justin for Caleb. And then boom, it happened. Like, oh shit, okay. But, you know, this kid got ice in his veins, man. I mean, they call him the Iceman. You know what I'm saying? They call him the Iceman. I mean, ice in his veins, bro. Come fourth quarter, it's like he locks in and it's go time. You know, and I'm thinking he's starting to realize that he has help and he doesn't have to play hero ball by himself. I just want that Iceman type mentality in him all four quarters. Don't just wait to the fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? Let's do it 1 through 3 and put in that work. Because, man, the kid is special. He has all the tools and tools and talent ability out this world. It's just him putting it together and becoming a cerebral assassin to where, remember where, like, you could sit there and watch Peyton Manning or watch Tom Brady in a game? Like, and they could go to the offensive line. They can go to the offensive line and stand there and digest that whole defense pre-snap and know where they're going with the football, know what you're doing on the defensive end before the ball even touches their damn hands. And it's so quick. That's how they were able to get the ball out of their hands within less than 2 seconds.
Right.
It's crazy. You know, or they've showed tape where Tom Brady was against Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and that defense. And Tom Brady was sitting back there in the pocket, blinking, going through his reads like, okay. Because everything is slowed down for him. He back there blinking and picking and choosing, and he's picking the defense apart. That is insane. So I would like
for... It's coming.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming.
It's coming.
When he reaches that level... We're talking Super Bowls at that point. Yeah. We should be talking Super Bowls.
Yeah,
that last game I saw. I watched three breakdowns. I do a report. Tim Jenkins, who's the guy who played backup quarterback? Chase Daniels and the backup for Green Bay, Burkett, whatever his name.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, he was on it.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of guys, they were dropping balls, bro. Like, a lot of times he was like, 1, 2, 3. Ball out. 1, 2, 3. Ball out. Oh, 1, 2, 3.
Zaccheaus has dropped the majority of them.
Yeah, he dropped like 3 or 4, bro.
Yo, I'm for one, am done with the Zaccheaus experiment. I mean, I said this time and time again.
And he didn't block.
I'm done.
And he didn't block on that run before the touchdown run.
Yeah.
He ran a shitty route, and then his man basically beat him to Caleb, and that's the reason why Caleb didn't score. If you watch the tape, you see Zaccheaus is kind of trying, and his man is just like full out sprinting, laid out, and hit Caleb. And who called out? Tim Jenkins was like, what the fuck is 14 doing? Why isn't he should be blocking his next play he did, but that first play, he didn't block his man. That's the only reason why Caleb didn't score. That's all I got to say about
it. Yeah.
I put a tweet out about Zaccheaus too. I just said I'm out on Zaccheaus. I mean, you know, he had a couple of nice moments early in the season. You know what I mean? He did some things and you know, that's fine, but when you go out there and you have as bad of a game that he had, like, and it's in different aspects of the game too, like Roy said, like, you know, it's not just the drops. It's the not blocking. It's your guy getting, you know what I mean? You dropped maybe 4 or 5 balls, it seemed like to me. It seemed like every time the ball went his direction, it was in his hands and out. And I don't need that. And here's my thing with Zaccheaus, like, the reason you're starting over Luther Burden is because there's a little bit more trust in you. But when you squander that opportunity and the trust is now done, why should we have the talented guys sitting on the bench at this point? You know what I'm saying? The more talented individual needs to be in the game, because I could deal with him dropping the ball and learning from it, rather than you, who's been around in the league and should be a vet that should be able to handle those types of passes, making the same drops. I'd rather have the more talented guy out there, you know, and deal with his learning curve than a guy who's supposed to be a little bit more sure-handed than that, you know. So what benefit do you offer? Because you being a vet dropping the balls like that is the same thing as my rookie doing. So I'd rather see the rookie out there, because to me, the rookie is making, you know, when the ball comes his way, he's making the plays. Yes. His passer rating, when they throw the ball to Luther Burden, I know it's a short, you know, it's a small sample size, but the passer rating when they throw the ball to Luther Burden is 136.6.
All the more reason why he needs to be getting the rock.
Numbers don't lie, man. Men lie, remember, women lie, numbers don't.
I was pounding the table. I said, we need to get him the ball, man. We need to get him and Colston Loveland the ball early in the season. I was like, look, these cats are special, man. We need to start getting them the ball.
And I'm not tripping on that. We had this conversation before, and it's like, I was okay with letting the rookies learn, letting them understand the game, make sure that they are bought all the way in, make sure that they're doing everything they need to do. And Luther, you know what I mean? Let's be real. You don't want to give, you know, rookies that much shine super early, because maybe they lose focus. Maybe they don't stay as hungry.
Yeah, well, you know, so, him and J-Mo cut from the same cloth. They kind of special mentally. So, you know, you want to keep them together, bro. You want to keep them together. You know,
keep everything together. We don't mean that in a bad way either. We just saying, you know what I mean? There's some lack of attention to details.
It's kind
of
retarded. You know what I'm saying? They kind of do some crazy shit, bro. Like, J-Mo out here on 7 Mile, bro, at 4 a.m.
Yeah, tripping.
On 7 Mile at 4 a.m, bro, at the Coney Island. Like, are you out your damn mind? You know where you at? He don't care. He don't care. Caught a pistol charge over that too. Him and his brother. So I'm taking it that his brother took full responsibility for it. But had
had a
pistol charge. Caught a pistol charge, like, because you out at the Coney at 4 a.m. on 7 Mile in Detroit. What are you doing? Nothing goes down good at a Coney at 4 a.m. 3, 4 a.m. Nothing at all. It's a whole lot of crime going on. They have like 5-inch thick bulletproof glass
on everything, yeah.
That you talking to these cats through.
Bars.
And they push a metal box to you to get your payment. Like, come on, man. Seriously, this where you go get your food at?
Nah, he tripping.
Yeah, for real.
But Luther definitely need to take us now. We'll see if that happens, because I mean, at the last game it was pretty bad, man. So I think if you
it was
Johnson,
bad,
you gotta cut
it was
us.
Bad.
Yeah,
you gotta bad. You gotta do something. And you know, we'll see how the week of practice goes and everything like that. We're on Wednesday now, so you know what I mean. We'll see how the week of practice goes, and I'm sure that Ben is evaluating that type of situation, because he ain't. You know, I know he don't like that. You know.
I think Zacchaeus is out of the lineup. I'm just gonna be honest. I don't think he's gonna be there no more. He lost the trust of his quarterback, and at that point, when you lose the trust of the quarterback as a wide receiver, you pretty much cooked.
Because Caleb Williams looked directly at him running that crosser.
Yeah,
he looks at him and says, "Fuck."
Yeah, he just took off running like fuck.
You done?
Not doing.
You wide receiver, your quarterback looked right at you, wide open. You throw the mail box. He's like, "Nope,
it's over." Nope. At that point,
I'd rather run right now.
Yeah, because he knew that I'm going to score. He knew it. I'm going to score.
Yeah, he knew it. He's like, I'm going to score. I don't know if you're going to score.
Speaking of, man, that boy got some deceptive ass speed.
Caleb?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very deceptive.
He's a stocky motherfucker, too.
He's solidly built, bro.
He's solid, bro.
Yeah.
You can't just take him down. He's solid. He's a solid captain. Hey. What y'all think about the Jalen Johnson news? It was funny. I said it. Asante Samuel said he has a visit. All of a sudden, Jamie Johnson posts a workout
ready to come. Ready?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm back.
Abductor tear. He had an abductor tear. I think it'll be dope. And, you know, the reason why is because I know the starting corners, in my opinion, in my honest to God opinion, the start, if Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon comes back, I think the starting defensive rotation should be Jalen Johnson at corner, Kyler at the other corner,
You want Kyler outside? You don't want him at nickel?
No, because this is why. I want Kyler at the other starting spot, and I want Gardner Johnson at the nickel. I want Gardner Johnson at the nickel. The reason why is because Kyler can play outside. He can play outside too, and the majority of his snaps have been outside when he was at Washington. Now, I may be different, but then again, I need a dog. Kyler's nice, bro, but that dog at that nickel, especially with Gardner Johnson playing the way he's been playing the last 2 weeks, I want to keep him there. I definitely want to keep him there. You know what I'm saying? I want Kyler on the outside. He can still cover. He can still cover. He's still elite in cover. You know what I'm saying? In coverage. But for a guy to get there, get to the quarterback, do what he got to do, don't do nothing stupid, and really been playing, like been balling out the last 2 weeks, Super Bowl champion, Give me Gardner Johnson right there at the nickel. And in that four, you make your defensive secondary so tremendous. I mean, think about it, man. You got Kyler Gordon, then you got Jalen Johnson, you got Gardner Johnson at the nickel, and then of course you got Byard and you got Brisker back there. That's tough. That's tough. That's real tough. That's real tough. And the fact of the matter, you know, or you could freak it, but I do not want Stevenson in my starting rotation no more once they get healthy. You going to the bench, bro. I'm tired of watching you getting beat like a damn drum, or, you know, getting beat like Mia Khalifa, you know what I'm saying, consistently. I'm tired of seeing it, bro. I'm just tired of seeing it. I mean, he's getting wore out over there bad. I'm tired of seeing it, bro. You just haven't played well, and that's okay.
I don't know, man. I'm going through a funk right now. I don't know. I'm not gonna pass. I can't pass judgment on him too hard. I think he has some games where he played really good. He has some other games where he played bad. You're gonna go up. I mean, everybody gets exposed and looks bad against somebody like T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase.
The Shepherd, you know, too.
So you gotta look at. Yeah, you gotta look at who they're going up against. And then not only that, but I'm not gonna be so difficult on the secondary. Nobody in the secondary. Nashawn Wright, all of them guys. Because they battling, bro. And what I mean by that is when your pass rush is non-existent and you gotta manufacture a pass rush with sending safeties, like CJ Gardner Johnson and Jaquan Brisker is getting sacks, right? When you got to manufacture a pass rush with that type of play, then that's leaving your guys in the secondary out to dry. If the pass rush was better, the secondary would be producing at a higher level. Trust me, and that's just facts. You know what I mean? I play defense. That was our job: get to the quarterback, speed him up, rush him, make his life hectic. Because then he will make mistakes. In this NFL, bro, you can't touch people. Those safeties and those cornerbacks got the hardest job on the football field, in my opinion. They got the most difficult job because the rules are against them, straight up. There's no other way to put it. They're against them. So I can't be so hard on them. You know, yeah, I want to see some better plays, so I'm not naive either. I'm not, you know, a homer in that regard. I want to see better play, and I do think they need to lock in. But at the same time, man, that defensive line can't produce no pass rush consistently, make the quarterback's life, you know, a problem. Then, you know, guys on the back end are gonna get screwed over the whole time. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I say that because later on down, you know, looking at our schedule as we move forward, we're going against playoff teams on a consistent basis. You know, Minnesota, we could put the proverbial nail in their coffin this week and shut the playoff door on them altogether completely, you know, and take care of business like we should in Minnesota. It's not, it's going to be tough. I'll tell you that. It's definitely going to be tough, but it can be done. It can be done. And it should be done.
They're already 0-2 in the division. You can't go 0-3 in the division and be expecting.
unless you like the Packers. The Packers went 1-5 in the division and still made the playoffs.
Right.
But they beat everybody else. Yeah. Yeah. But beat everybody else, you know. So, but, like I said, you know what I'm saying? I just want a strong defensive secondary moving forward. Due to the fact, again, like I said, we're playing playoff teams at this point, and this schedule gets brutal. This is where it gets to the thick of things. Minnesota, like I said before, we should put the nail in the coffin of them bastards this weekend. We let them off the hook in week one. There's nothing that they've done. You know, we beat ourselves week one. It ain't nothing they did. We beat ourselves week one, and we were still finding out how to win. I expect to put belt to ass on Sunday against them in Minnesota. I'm expecting belt to ass there, and the Bears march on to be 7-3. Looking at, you know,
the Bears are pissed. I hope they pissed off. Like they pissed off. Like they can't wait to fuck these guys.
Yeah,
they better be pissed off.
This should be the big payback. This should be the big payback. And I think we're going to do the show next week with the James Brown music playing. The big payback. Seriously. Because this should be an ass whooping. This should be flat out, we coming to stomp y'all ass in the ground. Literally. Against the Minnesota Vikings. Because again, we look at it as, truthfully, we sitting at 6-3. We should be 7-2. We let one go. Literally let one go. That we had won all the way up until the last few damn minutes. Had that game won and blew it. So, you know.
The Bears could easily be, shoot, they could easily just.
We really should, in all honesty, bro, we should be 8-1. In all honesty, we should be 8-1.
I still don't think they should have lost to the Ravens with Tyler Huntley.
Yeah, made us 8-1 with Tyler Huntley. But again, you know, whatever. Whatever. I don't know why they didn't use a spy again, but whatever. It is what it is. You're gonna win some. You're gonna win some games that you shouldn't win. You're gonna drop some games that you shouldn't drop. This one against Minnesota shouldn't be one that we drop. We should go 7-3 and be looking at 7-3.
You gotta win them division games. You know what I mean. Sometimes those division games are more important than any other game. That's your first way. That's your first ticket to the end to the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's your first ticket. If you can win your division, you're automatically in there.
Yeah.
No matter what.
So, you know? Not getting ahead of myself. But again, like I said, this game Sunday, this is a must have. This is a gotta have game. Got to have.
Yeah.
Gotta have.
Bears a different team. This is a different team than where they were week one.
Yeah.
I think the Bears are a different team in a better sense, and the Vikings aren't the same team in the worse sense. They've had some struggles. Bears, we didn't have a run game. The first two games, that's another reason why Detroit and Minnesota got us. They couldn't run the ball.
Yeah.
The Bears could not run the ball. Caleb was still shaky. He wasn't understanding the offense. We couldn't run the ball.
Offensive line, they didn't have any cohesion.
Yeah. They had no cohesion. Now, you go into Minnesota, you can run the ball because that's the one way when Ben Johnson neutralized D-Flo's defense, he was running the ball down their throat and then started doing play action. And they just couldn't stop him. And so now is the time the Bears can run that damn rock with DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai and get that play action. You can't stop these weapons because those linebackers are going to start biting, start drawing back. Caleb, like, he's confident, understanding the system. They should. And I ain't scared of JJ. I still feel the same way, the same I felt about week one. Ain't nobody scared of nine. Nobody's scared of his punk ass. You know, he gonna throw some ham sandwiches out there to be caught for the secondary. So they need to eat them when they throw them out there. You know, whatever sandwich they eat in Minnesota, and them hoagies or whatever they eat, you know, they need to catch some of them. So, and I'm pissed off, and I'm a fan, right? If I'm the Bears, if I'm the players, I'm fuming.
Yes.
At the mouth right now, I want to beat their ass.
Yes.
Play the whole game pissed off. 60 minutes of just being pissed off. Just pissed off the whole game. And if they do that, they'll win the game.
Yeah.
If they do that, they'll win the game. We 7-3. Then we can worry about
I think that's true. You know, I just want to go back to something real quick. It's something I think about, you know what I mean, when it comes to this Bears team. We talk about, you know, and I said, you know, I don't expect them to be this way, that way, blah, blah, blah. They need to, those peaks and valleys need to level out a little bit, though, that they need to do that. What I will say is that this team, because you see a change in the whole mindset of the squad, right? You see a change in everybody's mindset and how they're bought into what they're doing. You know, there's no panic. We don't see what we've been seeing for the last couple of years with this team. When it gets down to crunch time, you got guys that are making plays, making big time plays. They flashing in the big time moments. Now, if the Bears ever get to the point where they are consistent, this team is dangerous, bro. They're dangerous. They're real dangerous at that point because they can score. The defense even, you know, the defense makes plays when they need to. I mean, you get a blocked kick. You get guy bats the ball down. You know, you got guys that are making plays at the opportune, in the most opportune of times instead of squandering those opportunities. So if they ever get to a point where they're really playing consistent all three phases of the game, or maybe some consistency for a period of time, man, the team is going to be dangerous. It's going to be a dangerous squad. Ain't nobody going to want to play us at that point.
Nah. I kind of missed that part of the conversation about the secondary. I get what you're saying, Dan, but one thing I was saying with Nez, I get what he's saying, because we're not going to get any reinforcements on that defensive line. What we got is pretty much what we got.
Yeah.
We can just hope Sweat continues to play decent. Javon Dexter, Austin Booker. I think those are the only kind of three we got.
Yeah.
Grady's just collecting the check. Billings will make a play every now and then. The depth is in. You're going to have to play sticky coverage. If Jalen Johnson can come back and be that lockdown number one corner, and Kyler be what he can be, CJ and even Tyreek, Kevin Byard, that's going to be the strength of our team. Our 25 team is going, we're going to cover you. We might get some coverage sacks. And that's right. How we might sack you. And the offense is going to be so potent that it's going to be a game where we're just going to score 30 a game. And our defense doesn't have to play 2018 Bears defense. But we can hold you. We can stop you a couple times a game and stop you in the count or create a turnover and get the ball back to our offense and play. But that means they may not win the Super Bowl this year, right? Because that's their fault. They can't rush the passer consistently. But we know this ain't a Super Bowl team.
Mm-hmm.
But that may be good enough to make the playoffs. Maybe even good enough to make the playoffs and win a game.
Yeah.
They make a deep push.
But eventually they're going to get exposed. Yeah.
We may be this year's Commanders. You never know. Hey.
It is what it is. You never know. But they can be dangerous. And I'm pretty sure a lot of teams ain't happy if they said Kyler Gordon coming back, Jalen Johnson coming back, and this team already 6-3.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody, nobody want to see that. Not for real. No.
Yeah. Just a matter of when. So it's going to happen. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. And they do need to step up, though. You know what I mean? I agree with that. They do need to step up. They need to play some better, you know, like you said, play sticky in the secondary or whatever the case. It's just a tough task, man. I don't see it happening. I think there are some talented players out there on in the secondary, but I think there is a lot to be left on that secondary. That's not yet where it needs to be. So it's hard for me. I don't know. It's just difficult. I want that defensive line to step up somewhere, somehow, some way. Even like you said, if the offense gets potent and they're putting up points, then the defense now can play different. They can take chances in the secondary and on the defensive line. You can pin your ears back and go get the quarterback. You ain't got to worry about them running the ball because our offense is putting up points on the board. So if we get to the point where we're doing that, that's why all of this stuff goes hand in hand. We talk about team sport all the time. This stuff goes hand in hand. If your offense can put up major points, that forces somebody to come out of their game plan. Oh, we can't run the ball. We gotta try to keep pace with the Bears. That's something we ain't never had to do before. Now we got to try to keep pace with the Bears. So now they start throwing more and more and more and more. And then your defense, in turn, can now pin their ears back. Or you know, we can bait them into coverage interceptions where, you know what I mean, fake like we're you can bait quarterbacks sometimes into getting real comfortable and doing some things that they shouldn't be doing. So, I mean, a lot of it goes hand to hand, man. They just need to, man, that pass rush. I don't know. It's frustrating to me sometimes. Because I think they have enough talent to be better than what they're playing. I don't know why they're not getting to the quarterback. I really don't.
They need a dog, in my opinion. I think they need. Because remember when we got Khalil Mack, we had Akeem Hicks, who was good, Leonard Floyd. We had some decent players. Akeem Hicks was the best one. But when you added Mack,
it made everybody else better. Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's what this defense needs. This defense needs their version of a Khalil Mack, TJ Watt type. They tried to trade for Myles Garrett when they called Cleveland for Tryon, whatever his name is. They called him Myles Garrett. And if you get a guy like that, it'll change. I think it'll make Dexter better, Sweat better, Booker better. It'll make that whole line better. But
that's
what you got to get. You got to get a player like that that just commands double teams and still can't be stopped. And then I think that's what, but that ain't going to happen this season. They got what they got. And they're going to have to play how they're going to play and ride until the wheels fall off and then go in next year with your first round draft pick. Maybe you can make a trade, sign a guy. That's going to be the best bet for the Bears. I mean, unless somebody steps up, I don't see that. I think Austin Booker and Dexter are good, but they might need another year before they really, really hit it.
Mm-hmm.
If they take that step.
Right.
They want to be good players or great players,
Right.
But hey, I'll say this, man. Enjoy the ride.
That's it. That's all we can do.
Enjoy the ride. It's been a long ass time since we've been
relevant. Heck yeah, man. Heck yeah. I mean, you know, you look at this, and that's what we wanted, right? At the beginning of this year, I think we was on the podcast and we said it. I think I said it. I want to be playing meaningful games in December.
Mm-hmm.
I want the Bears to be playing meaningful games. They've set themselves up for that. They're 6-3 right now. You're going into the thick of the schedule right now. This is gonna be. I mean, you got Minnesota. You got Steelers. You got San Fran. You got Cleveland. Philly. You got some major games, right? And these are playoff contending teams. So the Bears are gonna be playing meaningful games in December, which is what I wanted to see. And we're gonna see how they handle it. We're gonna see what they do.
Absolutely. This is a short podcast, folks. Again, it's very short. It ain't very short. Shit, we got in about 45 minutes. We're just cutting a little 15 minutes short. But, you know, we got other things going on. We just want to get out there and talk to the people, touch everybody, and let them know what the Kings was thinking. You know what I'm saying? Anything, any shout-outs?
Man, you got any, Roy?
I shout out Rank because he let us shout us out. You know, he shouted out the three Kings. Shout out to everybody else. Who shout out to Rank, friend of the show.
That's what's up. So, shout out to Adam Rank.
Adam Rank, the Sick Podcast.
Shout out to Kyle Brand again. One more again. Yeah, Good Kyle. Morning Football. The whole cast at Good Morning Football. They had me up there. So I appreciate that, you know. Definitely give you a round of applause. Shout out to Kyle Brandt, the whole Good Morning Football gang, and everybody else that was sub-tweeting me and letting me know that I was on there Monday morning. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah. And shout out to our haters, too. Anybody that hates the 3 Kings, shout out to y'all. We need y'all. We love y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to our haters out there.
Everybody got me. If you're doing something right, you got haters.
Right. You got haters. Right.
So, you know, we appreciate y'all. Keep up the hate. Keep up the hate. But other than that, man, hey, it is what it is, man. We back at it. We'll be back next week for show.
Absolutely.
Bear down. Watch this team win this weekend. And let's ride this thing, man. Enjoy football. Here we are almost at Thanksgiving, that's the thing. We're almost at Thanksgiving, and before you know it, the season's gonna be over with. Enjoy football at this point in time, man.
Absolutely,
enjoy it.
I know, because it's been a while since we've been worth the damn, bro. So
exactly,
right, exactly.
I'm not gonna talk myself out of being happy about
this. Hey, bro, the last couple of years at this point in time in the season, what are we usually doing, man? I don't know if I could do this much longer, bro. I don't know.
Yeah, man. Who we gonna draft with the 10th pick in? I'm like so-and-so out of – I ain't paid attention to one mock draft this far. Man, none. That.
Yeah, we already on mock drafts, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, you on mock drafts. Talking about who we should fire. We gonna fire. Who gonna hire as a new coach?
Right.
Should we fire the GM? We gonna draft that quarterback. You know, shit, dude. Enjoy it, man. Enjoy it.
Enjoy it. Have fun with it, man.
Yeah. Till next time, folks.
Y'all take it easy.
All right, peace.
Peace.